interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National...
Time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. And welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding this strangeness, the weird, the paranormal. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Hey, listen to this story from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Police responded to a call they got from the hospital saying that a guy was in there suffering from an accidental gun discharge. Maybe you've shot yourself in the foot metaphorically, but this guy apparently did it literally. And when investigators asked him how the accident happened, he told them, oh, no, it was no accident. I shot myself in the right foot on purpose. And then they realized his left foot also had a gunshot wound. They said, how did that one happen? He says, oh, well, after I shot myself in the right foot, then I put my boot on my left foot, and I shot that one too. And investigators said, why on earth did you shoot yourself in your feet? And he said, I just wanted to know how it would feel. That's it. How it would feel. And that, kids, is the kind of curiosity that will drive man to Mars. Hey, you know, we have a lot of weird stories to share with you tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I am founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steel. Are you a curious man, Sam?
Bi-curious. Just kidding. Yes, I guess I could fall into that classification. Why do you ask, sir?
Have you ever wanted to know how it felt to be shot?
Yeah. Have you not? I mean, it's not like something I would actually go through with, but, I mean, it's the thought has crossed the mind. You know, you're watching TV, movies, and you're like,
right.
You know, in real life, would it be comparable? What's the level of pain are we talking here? Like, excruciating or bearable? I guess it depends on where you hit, like nerve endings, bones.
Sure. This guy used a .22, so at least he wasn't, like, you know, taking out a, you know, .45 Magnum or something, but...
So he has a foot left.
Yeah.
Well, he has. They say he's going to recover, but he's in trouble, of course, because you can't just go around shooting yourself in the feet.
You can't.
No, they said there were kids in the vicinity that could have been hurt. Also, I mean, this guy, of course, put the hospital in a weird position, and so he's going to have to pay a lot of bills on that.
My body, my choice.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Investigator Shelley Wright, how about you? Do you know anybody who's been shot?
I do, actually. Yeah, shot and stabbed, but not me.
And how has that experience been described?
One of our customers, he accidentally shot himself.
Uh-huh.
In the foot, and
really, okay.
yes, and he is a listener, and he's a really nice guy, and we just kind of joke around about it a little bit, but I can imagine that it looked pretty painful. He had a good sense of humor, but it looked painful.
Sure. Well, the thing that I've always been curious about is that point when they say that the pain. It's so bad you can't feel it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had pain that bad. I've just had pain so bad that it hurt really, really bad. There's never been a point of relief or unconsciousness. But, the thing that amazes me, though, is, like women giving birth. That just freaks me out, the idea of what they go through.
Right. Well, there are so many different levels of pain. I mean, have you ever had that level where there's the kind where you're in so much pain that you're making deals with God?
Yeah.
Please make the pain stop, but don't make me die to make it stop. I still want to live, but please, I'll do anything. And then I think I've experienced that pain that was so bad that you don't feel it anymore. So,
really?
Yeah.
But you weren't shot, though.
No, I was not shot.
Well, when it comes to these things that bother us, that hurt us, that disturb us, tonight on the show, I have a really interesting experiment that I want to involve all of you in. Because, one of the great things about having a radio program is you have the ability to speak to thousands, if not millions of people, depending on the situation, all over the world, and once in a while get them all to cooperate and work together on some kind of a collective experiment or collective consciousness-type research. And there are two projects that I'm working on right now that I want to get all of you listening involved with. I think radio hosts just get sidetracked and they don't do these kinds of things enough. But one of those experiments that we're going to get into during hour number two tonight is going to be an experiment to see if a technique that I've been thinking about can literally incredibly quickly help you solve just about any problem you may have. So when it comes to a physical ailment, or it comes to a financial problem, or some problem with your mindset, your emotional state, your relationships, it doesn't matter. If you have a problem, whether you foresee that or you envision that or experience it as a physical or a non-physical thing, the question is this a technique that can very, very quickly and easily remedy your problem? And it's based upon thousands of years of tradition used in both, folklore and spirituality, ritualism, magical thinking. I mean, this is just something that's been on my mind for a while. And I've been doing some experiments with it here myself. And it's so far, I'm having some good luck. And so I figure, hey, there's no better way to test this out, though, than to just tell all of you about this. I've never talked about this publicly before, ever. Okay, never talked about this on a radio program or a TV program. I've barely even talked about this in private with people before. And so I hope that all of you will stick around to hear about that one tonight, because as soon as I tell you about this, as soon as I explain, you will be able to try this out for yourself. And then I will just be sitting there with bated breath waiting to get your emails and whatever feedback I can to see if this is actually working for some of you in some regards. That's one experiment. Second experiment is it involves, well, one of our favorite things, UFOs, aliens. You know, last year, you guys may recall, last August, I did a big experiment here in Puerto Rico called the Arecibo Project, where we tried to pull down some kind of UFO out of the sky. Well, guess what? There's going to be another very similar experiment coming up soon. So all that is going to be in hour number two. That's one thing to look forward to tonight. Listen, before we go to our first break, now, Shelley, I know that, like myself, you're a person who appreciates a good, nice glass of vino blanco from time to time, a nice cold white wine. Isn't that right?
This is true.
Well, apparently people like us have to be extra careful from now on. Here's a story from Spain. A 50-year-old man visited a cafe, and he ordered a glass of white wine. He drank it, and it killed him.
What? What was in that wine?
Well, they say that it appears he was served by the waiter an industrial cleaner instead of white wine. The mistake occurred because the dishwasher detergent was poured in an empty wine bottle and put inside the fridge. It says the detergent was colorless and odorless, so neither the waiter nor the man realized that it wasn't wine. So the victim was taken immediately to the hospital and quickly died. Ironically enough, from the UK, we have this other story. They say most bizarre pregnancy craving ever. There is a pregnant mother there who cannot stop eating soap. This woman named Jess is nearly 8 months pregnant with her second child. It started with bars of soap, then moved on to liquid soap. Now she gets through up to two bottles a week. She says, quote, "It came out of nowhere. I wanted to lick a bar of Dove soap. I went to buy a bar of soap, and then I started licking it. It sounds disgusting, but it's really nice to me now," end quote.
I saw a guy on, like, Intervention or something one time where lots of odd things like that. One was paint markers.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. Like, eating paint markers and, like, drinking hand sanitizer.
Ew.
I think we've all been there with the duster, the computer duster. until they put the Bitterint in.
So, well, you know, what does soap do to a baby?
I don't think it does anything bad. I mean,
I can imagine that kid's going to just slide right out when it's ready, but, wow.
Good thinking, Shelley. Maybe, maybe from now on all mothers will do that. Hey, listen, let me also tell all of you this. When we come back from this break, I have a new story to share with you, believe it or not. Especially if you're having financial problems, listen to this. If you have a $1 bill in your wallet right now, it might be worth thousands of dollars. That's true. I have a story I'm going to read you. There are some $1 bills floating around out there that are worth a lot of money. I'll explain when we return. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, where we dig into the amazing, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company, presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. My name is Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange.
If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a you fail. Speed along the lane. You go down on your return at 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and live by. When I love people, when I daddy, when I mean, we love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing in the sea. We're always happy, the lives we live in, yeah, that's our philosophy.
Yeah, you know, it's the first day of summer tomorrow, and it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Dad. My dad just had his birthday, May 29th. Now it's Father's Day. Danny, you're getting spoiled. But, hey, happy Father's Day to everybody's dad out there. Sam, Shelley, feel free to jump in.
I will. It's my birthday tomorrow. Thanks for that.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, Shel.
Summer solstice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're very lucky. Happy birthday. Live it up. Longest day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Your birthday is on Father's Day, Sam?
Well, not every year.
Oh.
But this year it is.
This year.
Sometimes it just works out that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some days it's on a Monday.
Sometimes
it's on
you
a
just
got
to share it.
Well,
sometimes I have to share mine with Election Day.
Yeah. So you want to tell people how old you are?
39.
Congratulations.
So I have
you better enjoy it.
Outlived my prospective age by many a year. I was predicting late 20s. That came and went.
Well, you know, you and I are the same age, Sam. And last time I'm 38 also. And so last time I went to a doctor down here, I'd never been to her before in Puerto Rico. I went in there and sat down. She says, "How old are you?" I said, 38. And she goes, "Oh, you're still young."
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, you know, that's kind of nice to hear. But does that happen once you get to be 40? Do they say things like that to
you?
If
the doctor's 72, then yeah, you're still young.
Because, I mean, it's like when people die, young people die, you know, if somebody under 20 or somebody in their 20s dies, they're like, oh, it's a tragedy, you know. Somebody in their 30s die, it's like, oh, it's a shame, you know. Somebody in their 40s dies, it's like, oh, that's unfortunate.
I think when you hear that, though, it's like it's too much importance put on individuals. It's like millions and millions and millions of 20-year-olds have died in the past. Millions of people before 20 have died. Millions more will continue. It's like age is kind of irrelevant. It's like you come, you go. From ashes to ashes. Correct?
Dust.
Is that a morbid thought? Or I don't know. We all go sometime, right?
Well,
it's the only thing that
do.
Ties us together.
We all go sometime, but we hope that we cram as much living into those years, however many there are, as we possibly can.
In a perfect world.
Yes. And I think that you, Sam, are definitely cramming as much as you possibly can in there.
Well, thanks, Shelley. I try to cram.
Yeah, I knew this about you.
Well, welcome back to Speaking of Strange, everybody. And, you know, when it comes to this kind of thing, obviously I'm a big proponent of devices like the wishing machine that help you to make the most of your life. And I think the easiest way to describe it is that whether you want to look at it from the point of view of physics or metaphysics, everything starts as an energy mold, and then matter falls into that energy mold. And I think devices like wishing machines and wands, magical types of devices, what they do is they help you focus your thoughts to create a defined energy mold of what you want, and then you are patient as the matter sort of conforms to it and falls into place. And yet, I always tell people when it comes to magical devices and magical thinking, look, real magic, like we've talked about on the show recently, has to operate within the confines of the natural laws. So that means it doesn't matter what kind of a magical tool that you have, you are going to die someday. There's nothing you can do about that. The natural laws require it. So if you get some magical device and you say, I want to live forever, well, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work because it's out of sync with the natural laws. And so that's why, you know, when you use a lot of these devices, we say, hey, you know, don't even think so much about trying to prolong your life. You can think about your well-being and all that, but all of us are going to eventually break down and die, if not die more quickly. But as you're saying, guys, the point is, while you're here, let's keep that quality of life as high as possible. And this is a good time for me to mention that I finally now have a press release out for my big wishing machine extravaganza, which is going to be next month. It's going to be on July 19th. I'll just read the press release here. It's less than a page. Headline, Wishing Machine Extravaganza in Asheville, North Carolina. Imagine a box that can make wishes come true. That is exactly what Asheville author and TV personality Joshua P. Warren is promoting. And on Sunday, July 19th, 2015, 1 p.m., he's hosting an event on this controversial device, the Wishing Machine, in the theater of the Asheville Masonic Temple. The 8-hour event starts with a workshop, followed by a private cocktail party, a haunted Asheville ghost tour, and access to his Asheville Mystery Museum. Tickets are $99 and must be booked online in advance via wishingmachineproject.com. An Asheville native, Warren is the author of over 20 books, including Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction, and a correspondent for the Coast to Coast AM radio show, who has appeared on the History Channel, Discovery, Travel Channel, and many other networks. Quote, I first learned about these devices 15 years ago. They changed my life. And over the past few years, through my Wishing Machine project, they have changed the lives of thousands of people around the globe, end quote. A mind-powered device, traditionally called a radionics box, the Wishing Machine has an input for a wish and knobs that allow a user to tune their intent for transmission into the universe. Now, Warren says we don't understand exactly how they work, but they can be used to help manifest money, better relationships, and overall happiness. Quote, I know it sounds like the scam of the century, admits Warren, but the testimony of users is astounding, not to mention my own successes. You've got to experience it to believe it, and that's why I'm presenting this in person, along with Dr. Mulder, the man who makes the machines, to explain how to use them effectively, end quote. Those who visit wishingmachineproject.com can watch numerous videos about the device, read actual user testimony, and even hear audio of testimony that will clarify how the Wishing Machine works. Quote, I believe this is the technology of the future, Warren says. I think these are conscious, sensitive machines. When Edison invented the phonograph, people could not understand how to record and play back sounds. I think we are just now learning how to record and play back conscious intents, but the results speak for themselves, end quote. So that's it in a nutshell. You're going to have an opportunity to maybe see this pop up in some more media, but folks, again, if you want to be with me on that date, Sam the Animal Steel is going to be there. Investigator Shelley Wright will be there. We have best-selling author Linda Lell Miller. She's flying all the way from Washington State for this. Dale Allen Hoffman, who is, of course, the expert that we've had on this show talking about the real Aramaic and the real Jesus. I mean, he's going to be there. I've got a list of who's who like you wouldn't believe. I hope that you'll spend that day with us. So you can go to speakingofstrange.com for a link to the event.
So I got a question for you.
All right.
Okay. So should I bring my wishing machine? Is it going to be an opportunity for those of us who have wishing machines to bring them and actually use them, or just sit there and ask questions and just kind of watch what you and Mulder do?
No, actually, this will be a great opportunity to bring a machine if you have one. And in fact, you know, when I did the Wishing Machine workshop in Sedona earlier this year, I required all attendees to have a machine. You could not even be there if you didn't have a machine. But for this one, I wanted to open it up to a wider audience because we're going to be in a big theater. It's going to be in Asheville where I have so many wonderful friends and radio listeners. And so it seemed like a good time to say, look, if you have a machine, wonderful. Bring it with you because there will be exercises that you can participate in. On the other hand, if you don't have a machine, that's okay. It's an opportunity to sit there and learn about it and ask questions. And so, yes, certainly bring yours if you can. And by the way, I'm super excited because we're actually going to have the Hieronymus machine there. I've never even seen the Hieronymus machine. The Hieronymus machine is an antique, big wooden cabinet-sized radionics machine that's old. And, oh, the power that I understand just radiates from this thing is just palpable. You can literally physically feel it. Okay, when we come back from this break, I'll get right to this story saying, check your wallet. Your $1 bills could be worth hundreds or thousands of dollars, huh? When we come back, I will explain. Tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. You may call them at 828-298-5402. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Escape this irresistible grasp. Can't keep my eyes from the circling sky. Tongue tied and twisted, just an earthbound history. Hitchhiking the ET Highway. I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange. Don't forget, you can go to speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, and links to things like the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. That's right, the oldest, the original, the best. Constantly updated with fresh new research and findings. Don't be fooled by Tim.
Don't be fooled by Tim.
Yeah. Don't be fooled by imitators.
Yeah, is he a tour guide? let me tell you this. The other day we were doing an event downtown, and there was some city council lady was there. You know, we were welcoming home. Well, it was some troops that had come home that are doing like a motorcycle ride from Canada down to Florida, and they were driving through Asheville. And so I was hanging out there with a city council lady, and I told her that I produced the show here, and we started talking about the ghost tour, and I whipped out some knowledge that I learned on the ghost tour, and we chatted about it, and she said, I've always wanted to try one. I was like, well, you should try that one. That's how I know about these horrible things that happened on Church Street.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much, Sam. Yeah. You see, that brings me a good deal of solace. Knowing that, you know, the material that we offer, it sticks with people. I feel like that it's almost like after you take a ghost tour, one of ours, a really good one, from there on, it doesn't matter what the situation is, when you walk through the streets of Asheville, it's now like there's a new overlay. It's like you can see the same things you've seen a million times before, but you see them differently now. You see them on a deeper level because you know these new things about them.
Yeah. I told her about the bullseye at the Jackson Building as well. And I told her about where the gallows were on the other side of the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
See, I retained some knowledge.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, that's good news. And for people who just can't make it to Asheville, I also want to remind you that if you happen to have an Android device, you can go to hauntedasheville.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and there's a link there where you can download the Haunted Asheville Tour app. And basically, it was designed to be a self-guided tour for people who want to take one of our tours when we're not running one. Let's say they're only in town on like a Monday or a Tuesday and we don't have anything available. Well, they can download this app. And when you do that, it's GPS interactive. So if you were in Asheville, you could walk around and it would guide you to the spots. And at each place, you hit a button and you hear my voice telling you the story with music and sound effects in the background. Also, you know, we have photographs. There's a gallery of spooky pics. But the thing is, even if you don't live in Asheville or you'll never make it here, you can download the app and at least go through and listen to the stories. And they're still all really great stories.
Shelly's got it pulled up right now.
I did. I showed him. It's on my phone.
Excellent.
Easy peasy. It's fun.
Thank you very much. The reviews have been great, and people seem to love it. Okay, let's get to this story I've been promising here. For those of you who are curious about what you may have in your wallet right now, and if you have more than it appears at face value, this story from Disclosed.tv says, check your wallet. Your $1 bills could be worth hundreds or thousands of dollars. They say very little is as awesome as holding the winning number in your hot little hands. And you may be sitting on a winning number of another kind without even realizing it. They are talking about dollar bills with strange serial numbers. We're talking about numbers that aren't easy to come by. They say the collectors at CoolSerialNumbers.com have created a list of their most wanted serial numbers. And you might have a bill with one of these sequences on it in your wallet. So it turns out antique coins aren't the only currency worth cash to collectors. If you go to CoolSerialNumbers.com, you can check a list to see if you have any of these rare bills. Here is a list of the kind of serial numbers collectors are looking for. They're looking for $1 bills that have 7 repeating digits in a row on a Federal Reserve note. For example, 0999999. Or something like 7777776. Or in some cases, if you have something like a super repeater, like 676767, etc. Or if you have double quadruple numbers, like 00009999. So anyway, if you pull your wallet out and you look through your dollar bills and you have something that looks interesting, or even if you don't and you just want to go check it out, again, I haven't been to this site yet, so hopefully this isn't a porn site. But it's called Cool Serial Numbers, S-E-R-I-A-L. It's CoolSerialNumbers.com. You can go there to compare what you have in your wallet. So Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, I want to get your opinion on this since that you always deal with these currency value issues.
Right. All right, here's the deal. I am going to be the voice of reason here. I am not saying don't check your currency. Have fun with it. But if you find one of these serial numbers, if you find something really cool you're not just so sure about, and I know that you want to bring it in, it's not something that we buy. It is something that we don't have a market for. Now, we do business all over the country. We have all sorts of collectors and other dealers and distributors and things like that that we deal with all over the country. But this is such a specialized thing that we just don't have anybody asking for anything like this. So you need to go to the website that Joshua just mentioned and check and see what's on there. And if you find something, let them know about it. They are the ones that have the information and know who to send you to. They've got the phone numbers. They've got all the contact information. And I hope that you have the winning numbers and make a $1 million billion. I really, really do. But we at the coin shop, that's just not...
Okay,
just
all right, we got it.
Hey, Josh, I looked in my wallet. I think I have the dollar bill of the beast.
really?
It ends in 666H for hell. Huh? Shelly, is this worth a lot of money?
No.
Is this worth a lot of money?
Hey, call Shelly. Ask her.
She's right here. Shelly!
Now, but there are other kinds of currency that we do buy. So
let's just reiterate. I think, you know, Shelly's made it clear. Wright's Coin Shop. There are many, many great reasons to call Wright's and to go in there, but this is not one of them. So it's that simple. If you're interested in a serial number thing, go to, again, coolserialnumbers.com. Sam, why don't you check it out at some point, and you know, we'll see what your dollar is.
I'm thinking
yes,
it's gonna be a dollar.
The number of the beast.
It'll be worth a dollar.
Also, okay, let's move on with some more weird news stories because I've got plenty of them tonight. Here's a story from Charlotte, North Carolina. It says a woman was tired of waiting in the emergency room, and so she decided the best way to get attention was to set off the sprinkler system. It says she got tired of sitting around, so she went into the bathroom, climbed on top of a trash can, and held a lighter up to one of the sprinklers, flooding the room with about half an inch of water. The scene inside the ER was chaotic and disastrous, as they say, quote, copious amounts of water poured down. It says once she felt she couldn't wait any longer, that's when she decided to do this. This woman is obviously in a lot of trouble. They say there's been no word yet on whether the downpour seriously afflicted any patients in the ER. Says water damage did cause some ceiling tiles and parts of walls to crumble. And apparently some of the water was stagnant, so they were checking people to make sure exposure to the water wasn't a problem. She says, hey, what do you expect people to do when they're sick and they've been waiting for 2 hours in pain? She says, you do crazy stuff. Well, guess what? When you're done being treated, now you have a new problem. It's one with the law, so you can take that as you will. Let's see. Okay, and before we come up on our next break, here's an interesting story. This is from London. There is a character there who has become a real crime fighter. He's a masked vigilante. His name is the Bromley Batman. This mysterious masked crusader wearing black combat trousers, a muscle top, and a black bandana mask has been foiling muggings. It says here a number of witnesses have seen this happen. If, for example, one guy... a victim known as Ken was walking through an area called Martin's Hill when three foul-mouthed thugs came out of nowhere and demanded his phone and wallet. He says, quote, I thought I was literally done for. Then out of nowhere, a man about 6 feet tall, dressed in black combat-style trousers and a tight muscle top, and wearing this mask, came running towards them. He kicked the biggest of my attackers to the ground, which must have knocked the wind out of him. Then he grabbed one of the others and swung him into the other one and pushed them both into a prickly hedge. They were both screaming in pain. There have been at least two or three other instances where literally people have said, at the last minute, this masked crusader has jumped out using ninja-type techniques, putting people in arm locks. I mean, vigilantes have been... these criminals have been just in absolute fear. So they're trying to figure out who he is. No one knows where he comes from, who he is, or what motivates him to do this.
But he's wearing trousers, and he's near the prickly hedge.
So don't mug people around there. Okay, when we come back, hey, listen to this, guys. We have a story from a guy, a newspaper delivery man, who says that he captured an extraterrestrial on his cell phone. We have seen the video footage, and we'll tell you about it when we come back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
I'm a tanner back to ask me. You buy 100 pounds of yeast, and a copper line. Ow! Oh! Shut up!
Yeah, we're in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight. Speaking of strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren. The program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop, and you may and you should call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. Again, that's 828-298-5402. But don't call them over the serial numbers on your dollar bill. Just anything but that.
Was that sass? Because I think that was some sass.
Yeah, it's okay if you want to breathe heavy on the phone.
Hey, I know the names of all of my heavy breathers. Can you say the same?
Ask them if their refrigerator's running. That's fine. Or if you want to ask them if they have Prince Charles in a can.
Prince Albert.
Prince Albert. or Charles. It doesn't
just
matter.
Stop right now, mister.
Okay, listen to this story here before we go to our end of the hour, top of the hour. Listen, guys, next hour, hour number two, we are going to have a special hour. At least part of it is going to be about experiments that I want you to participate in. Every single person listening to this show, doesn't matter if you're listening through the radio or if you're listening through a podcast, every single one of you can participate in an experiment. I have a technique that might allow you to solve most of the problems in your life, regardless of what they are, very, very quickly and easily and efficiently. It's inspired by an ancient technique. It's been working for me when I've tried it out, but I want to see if it's going to work for other people. So you want to stick around for that. And then I'm also going to tell you about another experiment that you can participate in involving manifesting a UFO. We're going to do that one for fun. Okay, speaking of things of an extraterrestrial nature, here is a story from Sarasota, Florida. A newspaper delivery man says he has captured the images and sounds of what he calls an extraterrestrial being operating a hovering device. The anonymous man, according to CryptoZoologyNews.com, says he was on his way to deliver the newspaper to, of all places, a funeral home in Sarasota when he noticed the oddity. He says, quote, "I heard a dull whirring noise and some other metal clanging noises." He submitted this to MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. He says, quote, "I saw strange lights illuminating a tree in the cemetery on my way in. I thought I saw an object moving and hovering around the cemetery below the tree line and among the oak trees near the intersection," end quote. The driver says that he regularly videotapes moments from his delivery route, and so he took out his camera, and he captured the entire incident. It's a three-minute-long video. The footage shows the man driving back to a specific part of the cemetery. Once in a while, he shows the screen of his GPS device. Suddenly, he parks his vehicle to document the encounter through the window of his car. And he captures what he says, quote, "looks like a bald person sitting on a porch with some kind of light," end quote. He points out this pale humanoid with a giant-looking head. And there are some lights there around it. He says, quote, "I saw with my own eyes how it appeared to be a pale, bald man staring back at me." It says, "I zoomed in to record what appeared to be an extraterrestrial. The being seemed to be inside of a windowed room aboard a nearly silent object hovering just feet from the ground. When I went back in daylight, there is nothing there to explain what would have made this light or been where a person would be. This is a cemetery, not a trailer park," end quote.
Well, I'm glad his eyes saw that, because what the camera showed was like a fuzzy blinking light out in a field.
Yeah.
Did you see the bald guy in the room and the?
I'm kind of with Sam on this. And you know, if I saw something that I thought was an alien or a spaceship or something like that, and I had my video camera, I'd be pulling over to the side of the road, grabbing the gun, because you never know what you might run into that is not extraterrestrial. Take your video camera in there and see what you can find. You know, as for the whirring noise and the clink of metal, you know, it was a cemetery. Maybe somebody's trying to dig somebody up. Maybe somebody's trying to dig up a grave and put another body in there. You never know
like
what you're going to find.
It was like 3 in the morning. I don't think there was a dig.
Well, here's what you see. You know, I watched the video. I sent you guys the link. When you watch this video, you are seeing, from the guy's point of view, obviously, him using his cell phone. Now, I don't know if this is authentic or not, but it could be an authentic video because it looks like it could be real. What you actually see is the guy points his camera out the window, and he zooms, as extremely as he can zoom, into the distance. And there is a light in the cemetery, but you know when you use a cell phone, especially at night, and you zoom in extremely, every little jittery motion is magnified. And so the entire time, the image is jittery, and you never get a good, super clear look because of that. And I can definitely see what he is referring to as some kind of a bald head, because there is some kind of an illuminated oval sort of object. And it would definitely be a weird thing to see in a cemetery at night, especially considering we know how much clearer whatever it was would have been to his eyes than the camera. I don't think, though, that you can jump to some conclusion that it was something magnificent, because regardless, after he sees the thing, even he isn't freaking out in his own video.
No.
So it's an interesting thing. We'll have it posted for you at speakingofstrange.com so you can look at it for yourself. But we got to take a break. When we come back, we will be on to our experimental talk. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.